Today, I asked the Lord, I said, what do we do today? What do we share today? And I feel like the Lord said, I want you to share in the joy of the Lord. And, you know, I know that the joy of the Lord is one of the aspects of the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God, Paul said, is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and the last thing, joy, in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. So that is a sign of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. And I could say that one of the greatest things that we have is the joy of the Lord. So I'm going to give you a teaching here about the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to pray. We're going to believe God that the joy of the Lord will increase with us with the changing circumstances that we've had, because we have not had anything like this in my lifetime in recent history, just having to walk through all of this situation with this virus. So we're going to do this. Now, the first thing I want to talk about to you is about happiness. Now, joy is different from happiness. Joy is not happiness, but I want to talk about what happiness is. So I'm going to read a scripture in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And happiness is like this parable here. Now, here's how the parable goes. In Matthew 13, 44, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, but then he covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Now, happiness is like finding a treasure by accident or by a happenstance. That's where we get the word happy. It comes from an old word that has to do with chance or just coming upon something. And so happiness is where you come upon something like this man who came upon a treasure in the field. Now, God wants us to be happy. Can somebody say amen or honk for Jesus right here, okay? Yeah, God wants us happy. And God will place treasure in our life along the way. The question is, how do we handle happiness? It's not joy, but it's something that we stumble upon or come upon. So what did that man do? He says that he found treasure in a field. It was a new discovery, but he had to do something and manage that happiness properly. He, you know, at that point, what did he do? He hid it. He didn't tell anybody about it. He kept it within. Why? Because he wanted to buy the field. He wanted something that was going to last longer than that discovery. Hear what I'm saying? God wants us to learn how to manage the good things that come to us from nowhere. It seems like nowhere. We're going about our day. Can I give you one example? I was in an airport going somewhere and doing something for the Lord on a mission trip, and a random person, a Chinese person, walked up to me and said, "I have a check for you. I feel like the Lord wants to give you $200. It was happenstance. I'm happy for that. And so I thanked him. I said, "This is how you write it out," and everything. It was a totally random, unexpected happenstance. It happened one time in my life. Okay? You don't get these very often. I wish it would happen more, right? But you can't live your life based on happenstance, can you? Come on, somebody say amen. You're going to find things, but God wants you to learn how to manage the things in your life that make you happy. But the thing that's important about happiness is that you never forget those things, right? Never forget the times. You never forget the times that God surprises you with good things. Think about it right now. Think about something that has happened to you, happened to make you happy, where God came suddenly, surprisingly, God came at you in a way that you did not expect. That's part of God's blessing in your life. But like the man who took the treasure, He had to create a situation where that blessing became a inheritance for him. He had to manage that happiness because you can't live for that. You can't guide your life around these random things. Now, what I want to say, this one thing is that we need to learn how to work with a God who will surprise us. We have to learn how to work with a surprising God. And I'll give you an example as a musician. When I would lead worship, I would give my list to the projectionist. I would give my list to the team. And I would always tell them, be ready to be surprised. Because you can't always anticipate all that God has for you. Doesn't the scripture say, eye has not seen, ear doesn't hear, neither has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for his people. So we need to accept and live our lives prepared for God to surprise us. We need to be prepared for God to surprise us. So what did I tell my worship team? Expect to do a song that you will not be prepared for. That means keep your book ready. That means learn to play a song in any key I give it to you. Don't be so stuck on planning that you can't be flexible with God's surprises. You know, some people hate surprises. They can't handle them. They get their life in a rut. So much of a rut, so much in a routine. But how many of you know that a grave plot is a rut with two ends on it? Okay? Don't get stuck in a rut. Or you'll get buried there. You'll die there spiritually. God wants to surprise you. And I could tell you many more stories. Come on, let's believe God right now in faith. Come on, let's believe God. God, make me the kind of person that can handle your surprises well. Come on, let's pray. Father God, we pray right now that we will learn how to function and flow and manage your surprises. Father, we repent of not liking surprise. We ask you, Lord, to help us. Help us with the unexpected. Help us have faith when we are caught off guard. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we want to call you Jehovah Sneaky because you catch us by surprise with your love. Sometimes when you come by surprise, it doesn't look good. But that's okay. Lord, you know how to handle life's surprises. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so God's surprises are treasures. Come on. Don't ever get wrecked in a bad way when you get caught by surprise. Amen. Even if it looks negative at first. Praise God. All right. Let's talk about one more thing that's different from joy, and then we're going to talk about joy. Pleasures. So you've got joy, you've got happiness, and pleasure. Now, how is pleasure different from joy, and how is pleasure different from happiness? And I'm going to give you a scripture. God likes pleasure, okay? And he wants to please us. But in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "You make known to me the pathway of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy." There's joy. "And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So God has pleasure for us as well as joy. I want you to hear me on this because some people try to make pleasure like it's something bad. No, God wants to make us happy. He wants to give us pleasure, and he wants us to have joy. I'll take all three. How about you? Can somebody amen to that? Come on. At your right hand is pleasure. Now, what are pleasures? Well, pleasure to me has to do with your five senses, right? Your five senses. And for me, I would say that you've got your taste, touch, smell, you know. But for me, I would say that taste is probably the one I want to choose to describe what pleasures are, because it has to do with food. And, you know, we Christians love our food. And you know what's really cool about this is a food-friendly service today. Because you could sit in your truck, in your car, and eat. Praise God. And I don't have to smell it. Praise the Lord. You can eat it and be blessed, and I won't be hungry while you're eating it. Okay? So what is it about fragrance? Like, isn't like the best smell in the world is like when someone's cooking in the kitchen, wife, or somebody's out there smoking something, and you got a barbecue, and you smell that barbecue, what does it do to you? It gives you pleasure. Why? Because you're anticipating to taste. Okay? Taste and see. The Bible says what? Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. God wants to give us pleasure. Now we have to learn to get our pleasure from the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? That's what he does stuff with. So we have to trust that our source of pleasure, we're not going to have our source in people. We're not going to have our source in places. And we're not going to make things our source of things. People, places, and things. They can't be the source of our pleasures. God is the source. It's at his right hand that we have pleasure. Now, one more thing I want to say about pleasure and taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Our taste buds need to be educated. The word for education in the Bible is to teach someone how to taste. Isn't that interesting? Cultivate their taste bud. When we were growing up as children, right? What did we want to eat all the time? Sugar, butter. I heard about my grandson climbing on the table and just digging into the butter dish. All right, his palate has not been trained yet. Got it? God wants to train our pleasure palate. He wants us to learn how to enjoy the finer things of life. And as a matter of fact, if those that sell wine, those that sell beer, different things like that, different kinds of food, you've got your taste wheel. You've got your sweet. You've got your sour. You've got your bitter. You've got your savory, and I know there's more, but it's that what was the other one, Marian? Yeah, umami. What? Mushrooms, okay. It's a savory scent. So in other words, there are different combinations. What we love about taste is that we learn to discern or to know what we're tasting. That's the first thing that you, when you eat something, you're like going, wow. What does this taste like? And you try to find words to describe the taste. Music is the same way. Everybody has a certain sense of taste in music, and then art is the same way. Some people have a certain taste for art, and etc. Craftsmanship. There's a certain sense of taste in a kind of craftsmanship if you're working in wood. Or if you're working in pottery and things like that. So God wants to teach us not to live for pleasure. Let your pleasure come from the right hand of God. And because if not, pleasure will choke the word of God. That's in Luke chapter 8, 14. The pleasures will choke the word of God. Let your pleasures come from the right hand of God. And sin has this pleasure too. That's why God wants to teach us and train our taste buds so that we don't go to sin for our pleasure, but we go to the right hand of God. Amen. Okay. So we're going to talk about joy now, and I'm going to give you a few things about joy, and we're excited. So God has happiness for us, like the treasure in the field, right? He has pleasure for us at the right hand of God. Makes our taste buds. And can we pray right now? Let's pray. Let's pray that God will train our taste buds for pleasure. and God's hand. Amen. Father God, we come to you right now. We repent from bad taste. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to train our taste buds for the kingdom taste, for things that are proper. And let us see our pleasures coming from your right hand. Lord, let it come from your right hand, not our right hand. Let your pleasures come from you. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, now we're going to talk about joy. And the joy of the Lord is, I want to start from Isaiah 61, verse 3. God said, Isaiah 61, verse 3, that God will appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So the first thing I want to say about joy, joy is anointing and appointing. God has appointed you to be anointed with joy. Joy is an anointing on your life. It is the presence of God on your life. And somebody asked when we were talking to this reporter from the Washington Post, he said, how would you explain the anointing to someone who doesn't know what that means? And we talked about it. It's a sense of God's presence that just abides on you. It's a touchy feely thing. And to another, anoint somebody, it's like giving them a massage, right? It's, you know, a spiritual massage, but it's also marking you. It's a marking. So if you're marked for something, that means you've been set aside for something and a purpose. And to anoint someone, to anoint the king, what you do is you use the oil to tell everybody, this is the one that I have chosen. And so the first thing we need to hear from the Lord is that joy comes when God chooses us. Joy comes when God selects us. Joy comes because God has sought us out. How many of you love being looked for, sought out? You know, the creator of the heaven and the earth, universe, is seeking you. He's looking for you. He has selected you out of the crowd. We're not just another number in the database of heaven. We have been sought out and selected. What did Samuel do? He went through all the sons of Jesse and he said, this is not the one. They had to search for David because he was with the sheep, and they found him. So God has an anointing for you, and in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. Okay, let's talk about the second one. Unspeakable joy. How about that? Joy is different from happiness. Joy is different from pleasure because there's something about joy that cannot be put into words. Here is 1 Peter chapter 8, 1 verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you have faith in him and rejoice with joy that is unexpressible, unspeakable, and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the joy of blind faith. Now, a lot of people, that's a term we use all the time, blind faith. What is the blind faith that Peter is talking about? I have never seen Jesus. I was not walking the streets of Galilee. Peter did. Peter saw him. And then he says, though you do not now see him, in your personal, we don't see him right now. Obviously, he's in heaven waiting for us to take us home. So we didn't see him in the past. We don't see him presently, but we have faith in him. This is the blind faith that is not dependent on what we see with the natural eyes. It's dependent that what we see with the eyes of our hearts. God has given us eyes right here. And with the eyes of our heart, we have joy. And that joy, think of the joy of the Lord as two eyes on your heart that enable you to see Jesus in a way that nobody could see. He is, of course, the treasure hidden in the field. All right, let's talk about the next one. Everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. This joy never goes away. Happiness has its ups and downs. Pleasures had their ups and downs. Okay? But everlasting joy never goes away. And it's one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Isaiah. And it's quoted word for word the same way twice in the same book. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10, and Isaiah 51, verse 11. Isaiah 35, verse 10, and Isaiah 51, 11 say the same thing. And those of you that know this song may know the words. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Quoted word for word twice in the same book of the scripture. It says, everlasting joy shall be on their heads. Amen. God has given us the ability to touch eternity with the joy of the Lord. You want to know what eternity is like? It's find it in your joy. That thing inside of you that for some reason just makes you happy. You could be inside. You could be outside. You could be sleeping and awake. I'm serious. You could be up and down. Doesn't matter. You could be in pain and still have the joy of the Lord. It's amazing. All right, the next one is empowering joy. And you're going to know this scripture too. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 says, Nehemiah the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people said to all of them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. The joy of the Lord is your ability not to be taken down by grief. And the Levites calmed all the people. He said, this day is holy. Don't be grieved. And then it says here that all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. Now, I want to just describe this to you and what I feel like God wants us to hear from this. When we first encounter the word of the Lord, many times we'll cry. Many times we'll weep. Because God hits us with repentance. Because he wants to tell us what we're doing wrong. He wants us to correct. You can't correct somebody unless you show them what they're not doing right. You've got to show them. God cares about us so much that he will correct us. Now, when you get hit with the correction, it can hit you like a 2x4. And that brings what they call the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord means you're afraid and you care about dishonoring God. And you care about what God thinks. You know, when I grew up, I didn't care what God thought. I had to learn the fear of the Lord. I had to learn that it mattered to God what I did and what I didn't do, just like it mattered to my mom and dad what I did and did not do. And so what does a mom and dad do when they train their child? They have to teach them first the fear of mom or the fear of dad. And there may be some tears. But what happens when understanding comes? You don't cry anymore because you get it. Don't put your hand on a hot stove. Mama doesn't have to hit you and make you cry not to touch it. Why? You understand you don't do those kind of things. So here's the thing. Fear the Lord comes first, but when faith comes, you get peace and joy because you have righteousness now. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to do right, and he wants us to be right. He wants us to have the righteousness of God in Christ. When we have his righteousness, we have his peace. And when we have his peace, we can be joyful now. And that joy, no man will take away. The joy of the Lord is your power in life. Amen. Psalm 30 verse 5 says this, his anger only lasts for a moment. Can somebody say amen to that? Come on, just a moment, just a quick flick, just a quick word or a look. There are times when, well, Jesus gave a look to Peter, right? When he was on his way to the cross, when Peter was denying him. And it says Jesus gave him the look. And Peter broke down and he wept. Why? Because of Jesus looked at him. Because he was in sin. He was denying the Lord. He got the look. Psalm 35 says, weeping may tarry for the night. But guess what? Joy comes in the morning to kick out weeping. So you may have weeping staying the night in your house, but it's only a night, guys. Joy's coming and weeping is going. And joy's coming in during the daytime to stay with you. And that's it. Hope is eternal. And then the last but not least, unmovable joy or untakeable joy. I want to call it untakeable because there is a devil out there that wants to take your joy. There's a devil that is an enemy to your joy. It's more than just circumstances. Come on. It's more than just random things. There is a devil, and the Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we serve the lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus is the word for praise. Judah means to praise God. And so that's his desire, not to put fear in us. And God wants us to learn how to identify enemies to our joy, because then none of it needs to be taken from us. And I'm going to turn you to John 16, verse 22, our final scripture today. John 16, verse 22. How many of you enjoying the Word of God today? Isn't God's Word good? It's so good. This is good stuff right here. It's kind of funny for me to say that, but it's good. His Word is good. John 16, verse 21. Jesus was talking to the disciples because he told them, I'm leaving. You're not going to see me anymore. Peter referred to that in 1 Peter 1. He says this, so also you will have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No matter what happens, no devil's going to take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy be full. Now, we have an enemy that tries to take our joy. Sometimes circumstances try to take our joy. Sometimes people do stuff to us to try to take our joy. Sometimes nature tries to take our joy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just things. But Jesus said, I want you to learn how to go to the Father in my name. Now, the only way you're going to learn is if I leave. That's what Jesus was trying to tell them. The pain you have right now of not seeing me is to teach you to go to your heavenly Father, whom you cannot see, no man can see, and learn how to speak to him in my name. In my name, so that you can ask and have your prayers answered, so that you may have fullness of joy. He said, you've been going to me and you've seen my presence. You've seen my glory. Jesus walked the earth. He watched the disciples and apostles, watched him heal the sick and raise the dead and feed the hungry. And then what happens? He leaves them and they're crushed because he wanted to teach them how to go to the Father. He wanted them to learn how to have fullness of joy because of prayer. Now, I believe that our separation right now, that we're experiencing right now, is similar to almost like Jesus leaving the earth. In other words, we don't have the pleasure of actually seeing each other, hugging each other, and having a physical gathering. But guess what God wants us to do? He wants us to grow in our ability to pray to the Father. I believe the season that we are in right now is a season where we have an opportunity to pray to God and watch God answer prayer in ways we have never seen before. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about answering prayer. Like, I can't go lay hands on somebody to pray for them. If somebody's in the hospital, they won't let me in. So, Lord, I'm believing you that you are going to lay hands on them in a hospital. Send an angel in there. They can't stop an angel. Send the Holy Spirit. Let your word go and heal them. So I'm believing God for things. I'm believing God in a realm of faith that I'm not used to because I physically can't go there. You see? And there's a realm of faith that Jesus wanted to bring his apostles into that had to happen when he left them physically. It's the same principle. So there will be times in your lives when things will disappear and things that you're used to. I'm here and I feel the Holy Spirit. You hear me on this. There are things that will shift and change in your lives that will look bad for you at that time. But God has taken away. It's almost like taking away a crutch or support that you've been leaning on. And he said, it's time for you to walk now without that support. It's time for you to learn to step up to another level of faith. It's time for you to sense the presence of God and to see with eyes of your heart. You've been leaning on your understanding too much. Go to the Father and let your joy be full. Discover the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. It'll make you unmovable. It'll cause you to see things that your eyes can't see. You'll see things in the Holy Spirit and heavenly vision, and you'll have something that can never be taken from you by no devil, no dragon. Nothing can take your joy from you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you today. We speak blessing on those watching. We pray for an increase of the joy of the Lord. We pray, Lord God, for vision. We pray for faith to the Father, a relationship with the Father. God wants to shift some of your relationship to the Father in heaven. Some of you have struggled with that. I feel it in my heart. I'm speaking to somebody here that you've struggled with your relationship with your heavenly Father because of stuff on the earth with your earthly parent. But the Lord says that you are going to grow in your relationship to your heavenly Father, and he's going to heal some of the pain that you've experienced in the past. And you'll see that it's a crutch that you don't no longer need because God wants you to walk in this new relationship with your heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. With the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God bless you. God bless you. And we will see you next Sunday. Hopefully not in the parking lot, but that's okay if we're here. We'll believe God. Amen. Amen. Take care. God bless.